pain, heart of God, that I might serve you. We just want to serve you, Lord. Bless the Lord.
Lord, once again, we thank you for this day, because this is a day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, you brought us into your house once more, into a place of worship, into your presence. Lord, I pray that you'd reveal your word to us. You'd help us to receive it and to receive everything you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, Matthew 26. I'm going to read 17 through 30. We read part of it earlier, but now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples." And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, "Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, "Lord, is it I?" And he answered and said, "He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" He said unto him, "Thou hast said." And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave unto them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out unto the Mount of Olives. What possessions did Jesus have? What did he have that he could call his own? Did he have a house? Did he have a bank account? Debit card? Wallet? he could rightly say that he had no part in the world. The world had no part in him. Luke 9:58 says that he had no place to rest his head. The donkey he rode into Jerusalem was borrowed. The upper room for the Passover dinner was borrowed. The tomb where he was buried was borrowed. Of course, it was only slightly used, wasn't it? Even the sins that he was crucified for were not his own. Of course, I'm not saying they were borrowed. They weren't. He traded us for them. His righteousness for our sins. He imputed his righteousness upon us. And he imputed our sins upon him. We are not bound by them anymore. It says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But instead of condemnation, we receive conviction, don't we, when we stray or when we do things we're not supposed to do. First day of the feast, Jesus sent his disciples. After they asked where we're going to prepare the Passover. And he said, go into the city to such a man. Doesn't say who. And say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. Say unto him, the master saith. The master. You know, you almost get the impression that maybe the man that they're going to talk to might have been one of his disciples. You know, he had more than 12 disciples. He had many followers. But I'm not sure that's true. I don't know for sure. He said, my time is at hand. Several times he had been telling his disciples and others that my time or my hour is not yet come. Which time is he talking about? He's talking about the time when he would be glorified. John 17:1 says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. That's when he brings to, well, I was going to say fulfillment, everything, but actually it doesn't, does it? But he brings to I close that part of his plan. The master saith, I will celebrate the Passover here at your house. When he sent his disciples after the donkey, he said, tell them the master has need of it. Is he just taking something that doesn't belong to him? No. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. He has a right to everything. Everything we own, we don't really own, do we? That's good. He sent his disciples and he told them to go and, in Mark 14:12 through 16. It says he sent his disciples and said, go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water, and follow him. And where he goes, that'll be the place you're supposed to go. Why didn't he just tell them, well, you know, here's where you go. You go to 100 North Moon Mountain Avenue, and you go in there in the building in the back. Why didn't he just say that? He knew where it was going to be. What would happen if he did? Judas would have known. Judas would have snuck out and he'd have gone to the Pharisees and the scribes and the high priests and he would have said, this is where he's going to be. What would have happened?
what wouldn't have happened? Well, for one thing, there'd be no John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and part of 18. The washing of the disciples' feet. Him telling of the coming of the Holy Spirit. I am the vine, you are the branches. Let not your heart be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you unto me. That wouldn't have been written. The agony in the garden. That wouldn't have been written. Some people think that maybe it might have been prearranged with this man. I don't think so. Based on what it said in Mark, it makes it kind of seem very supernatural to me. You're going to see a man carrying a water pitcher. Why is that significant? Because that's something men didn't do. So it would have been very rare. Jesus knew beforehand exactly when their pass would cross. You know, they might have got stuck in traffic or something and missed that. But no, Jesus knew exactly when their pass were going to cross. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. The Passover, is in Luke 22:8, it says it was Peter and John. It doesn't say who it was in Matthew and Mark. And when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, "Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, "Lord, is it I?" Every one of them. You know, we are capable of anything that anybody's ever done. All the bad, we have it inside us. I think the disciples recognize that. Without the grace of God, every one of them was searching themselves, you know, is that me? Can I betray him? Is my love for him not shallow? Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, "He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me." Well, they all ended up dipping their hand into the dish because that was passed around to everybody. "The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." In John 19:11, Jesus told Pilate, "You wouldn't have power unless my Father had given it to you. But the man that delivered me to you, he has the greater sin." Of course, Judas was prophesied. Psalm 41:9, "Yea, mine own familiar friends in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." You know, I wonder about Judas. How did he miss it? He was with Jesus all the time, the 3.5 years, all the time. He heard the same thing that all the other disciples heard. He thought, like a lot of the people in Israel, that Jesus was just going to ride into town and he was going to kick the Romans out, and they're going to take over their... Israel's going to regain their country, and he's going to set up his throne. Well, it didn't happen that way. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" He said unto him, "Thou hast said." And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body." He blessed it and he broke it. You know, if God allows you to be broken, he's going to have you be blessed too, isn't he? because the two go together where God is concerned. He said, take, eat. This is my body. Take, eat. We have, as I mentioned earlier, we have daily devotions Monday through Friday. And a couple days ago, we read something from the Book of Mysteries. Anybody that isn't familiar with the Book of Mysteries is written by Jonathan Kahn. And most of the dialogue in it, each teaching, is between the teacher and the person writing it, which is a student. And the other day, the reading was the Alpha Commandment. What, asked the teacher, was the first perpetual commandment God gave to the nation of Israel? What was God's first commandment to Israel? The student answered, the first of the Ten Commandments. The teacher said, no. The first continuous commandment given to the nation of Israel was this: on the tenth day of this month, everyone shall take for himself a lamb. This was the command that established the 10th of Nisan as the day when the Passover lamb had to be taken to the house. The 10th of Nisan, the same day that Messiah, the Lamb of God, was taken to Jerusalem on the day we know as Palm Sunday. So the first command God gave Israel is to take the lamb. Yes, but in Hebrew the word for take is lekach. Lekach means to bring. So it can be translated as bring the lamb. So they brought the lamb, Messiah, on a donkey into Jerusalem. But lekach can also mean to purchase, and thus purchase a lamb. It was this that the priests of Israel fulfilled as they paid for the life of the Messiah. So they purchased the lamb. And lekach can also mean to seize, and thus seize the lamb. So Messiah would be seized, arrested, and taken captive. And there's one more thing that lekach means. What? Receive. Receive the lamb. Yes, said the teacher. Receive the lamb. Or receive for yourself the lamb. This is what the nation of Israel, the world and the Lord is waiting for the nation of Israel to fulfill that, because they haven't done it. So when he says, take, eat, it means the same thing. I thought about it, I said, well, this is written in Greek, so it wouldn't be the same thing. Yet Jesus wasn't speaking in Greek, was he? And I looked up in the concordance in the Greek, and it has the same meaning. It means to bring. It means to purchase. It means to seize. It means to receive. Take, eat, he says. So it isn't just... there's more to it, isn't there? It's receiving. Take, eat. This is my body. Is means represents. So when he says, this is my body, this represents my body. It doesn't magically become his body like some churches teach. His body is symbolically taken into our body. It becomes part of our body. It teaches that Christ must be in us. John 15 tells us that we are to abide in him and he in us. In John 6:56, Jesus says, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Eateth does not mean just to partake, just to chew and swallow. It's more like what a cow does. Ruminate on it. We bring it back up, and we chew it some more, and then we swallow it. That's continuous. It's a continuous thing that we do with Jesus. And he took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. All of it. The things of Jesus, how much of it are we to partake of? All of it. Keep in mind that we partake of the elements separately. The blood is separated from the body. How does that happen? How does our blood become separated from our body? Usually through force or an act of violence of some kind, isn't it? Even when they draw blood out of your arm, they may be as friendly as possible and very nice, but yet that's still a violent act. It brings the blood, it separates the blood from the body. For this is my blood of the New Testament. My blood. Only His blood. No other blood will do. Of the New Testament. A testament is a disposition, a contract, a covenant, a will. It's the blood of His covenant, so it's covenant blood. Covenant is very important because that's actually a lot stronger than a promise. It's even stronger than a contract. The bread is the staff of life, but the blood is the life. The blood, or that which represents the blood, finds its way into our blood. Just as His body symbolically becomes a part of our body, His blood symbolically flows in our veins, doesn't it? As Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The bread represents the substance of His person. The wine represents that which flows from Him. The bread is what He is. The wine is what He provides or what comes forth from Him. We need both, don't we? We need everything He is and everything that flows out of Him. Of course, it goes beyond that, doesn't it? Because the body and the blood represents our means of salvation. Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." He doesn't say, "This do in remembrance of something that happened 1,500 years ago when God brought you, your people out of the land of Egypt." You see, that was a type that looked forward to what Jesus was going to do. The main event, the main thing, was Jesus dying on the cross for our sins and shedding His blood for us. For our salvation. It's a memorial. It's always been a memorial. Even 1,500 years before the Passover night, it was a memorial about what Jesus Christ was going to do. It's also prophetic. Verse 29 says, "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." What does that mean? This may be the last time we ever gather together and do this on earth. We don't know, do we? But yet we're going to do it again in heaven with Him. I'm going to ask George and Bill to come forward and pass out the elements. 1 Corinthians 11:23-33. Verse 28 says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." When I was reading the passage that we read in Matthew, when each one of them examined themselves and said, "Is it I?" Because that's what they were doing. And that's what we should be doing now. We need to be examining ourselves about how strong our relationship is with the Lord. Are we right with Him? I want everybody just to take the time And if you have anything in your life that you need to talk to God about before we do this, I'm going to ask you to do that now. Just bow your head and talk to him about it. And if you have anything against anybody else, if you have aught against anybody or anybody has aught with you, then speak to the Lord about it. Has everybody been served? Did we miss anybody? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I have received from the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Lord, we thank you for what this represents. We thank you, Lord, for providing this for us. And we just ask your blessing on it. You may eat the bread. For as oft as you eat this bread, I got ahead of myself again. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the blood you shed. We thank you, Lord, for what this cup represents. We thank you, Lord, that your blood cleanses us from sins. We thank you, Lord, for loving us and providing it for us. You may drink the cup. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Lord, we thank you. Your love just amazes me, Lord. What you went through, what you allowed to happen, Lord, help us to always keep it in mind, the value of your gift. And help us, Lord. Help us to be worthy, or as worthy as possible, you and what you did for us. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here. And Lord, I pray that you'd go with each one of us. Direct our path today. Keep us safe. And bring us back to you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody. That concludes our service.